Isaiah chapter 60, and we're going to look at verses 15 through 18. This is right where we left off the last time. It is the third Sunday in Advent. We're certainly going to find Advent themes here. However, the title of the sermon is The Faith or the Ferguson. Isaiah 60, verse 15, let's listen. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through you, I will make you an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. And you will suck the milk of the nations. You will suck the breasts of kings. And you will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass I'll give you gold. For iron, I'll give you silver. And for wood, I'll give you brass or bronze. And for stones, iron. And I will make your officers peace and your exactors righteousness. Violence, or oppression, violence shall be no more heard in your land, wasting nor destruction within your borders. But you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this passage. And Father, we thank you that you are the one who redeems and even rescues what is this cursed and even fallen world. We live every day with sin and imperfections of every sort, and we find it in every corner of our existence, including and especially in our own hearts. But we thank you for this vision here about your kingdom, and about the peace that you bring, and about an order that can be had and will be had, and about cities that are transformed, even redeemed by you. We ask that you would help, that we would apply this to ourselves, to our community, to our land, for the sake of your Son and for the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. The faith or the Ferguson? Ferguson. Yikes, Pastor Jim. I want to assure you that I have not forgotten that this is Advent. As a matter of fact, I could have very easily titled this sermon Christmas or Chaos. But I thought putting Ferguson in there would bring it a little closer to home. There is here again in Isaiah chapter 60 an Advent theme, and we're glad for that. We've been over several of them. We've even seen the Grinch in there and Christmas trees, pine trees in there in the passage just prior. But the theme for today in this passage here is peace. You know, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. In verse 17 we read that I will make your officers peace. The Christmas hymn Silent Night contains special lyrics. Perhaps you remember them. It talks about even a heavenly peace. Heavenly is an adverb, and it describes a type of earthly existence. It's a verb of being, this idea here of having peace and a heavenly peace. But it can be had here on earth. Today we're going to explore that peace that is talked about in this passage. And we will see how it is that it is biblically always found in close connection with righteousness. Look again at verse 17. It talks about the officers there, and I will make your officers peace, but not very far away, at close connection, I will make your exactors or your bailers or the ones who are collecting fines, I will make them righteousness. Peace and righteousness, always in close connection. We've already seen in Isaiah that peace is not only in close connection to righteousness, but peace is a byproduct of righteousness. Perhaps you remember all the way back in Isaiah 32 and 17. the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Peace is a byproduct of righteousness. The work of righteousness, where that is taking place in life, there will be peace. You can apply this to your home, you can apply it to a city, you can apply it anywhere. So peace and righteousness are not only in close connection, but peace is the byproduct of righteousness. So today we come to peace. And with peace as our theme here, I want us to explore our title a little bit more fully. Our title being The Faith or The Ferguson. And today what I want to do is present to you a continuum, a spectrum, so to speak. And I have a slide to show this. Way over here on the left, we have the faith. And it's not only faith. There's an article in front of faith. It's the faith. And so it's not this benign, abstract, well, just be spiritual, or, well, let's just have faith. It's not that loosey-goosey, lovey-dovey, I don't really even know what I mean by faith, but I like faith, and faith seems to be popular, so I'll talk about faith. No. We are talking about the faith. We are talking about the Christian faith over here on this end of the continuum. We're talking about the Christian faith. All the way opposite of that, we have the Ferguson. And I've included the definite article there as well. Because we're not talking about Ferguson per se. And I'm sure that you know that I'm talking, Ferguson, Missouri, where we've had all of this tumult and trouble. But I'm not talking about Ferguson per se. Because much, if not most, of what has happened there or has been shown to us is something that has been trucked in from outside of Ferguson. It is outside agitators. They are professional troublemakers brought in. And those troublemakers and agitators who have been brought in have also, by the way, insisted that Ferguson is everywhere anyway. And so this is not about that town, Ferguson, but it's about that concept. So it's the Ferguson. Those kind of conditions. Conditions where there is violence and injustice and oppression. The Ferguson. Light years away from the faith. And so today, in purposes of our continuum here, we will use the Ferguson as an emblem of violence and corruption, oppression, injustice, abuse, you name it, fill in the blank. I further want to posit to you that all cultures, plug in Troy, New York, all cultures are somewhere on this continuum. I mean, if I had a screen big enough, I would have put faith way over there and the Ferguson way over there. We're somewhere on this continuum. And we're always moving one way or another. And our movement is always according to our affirmation and our adherence to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so if you're addressing the Ferguson and you're looking for peace, but you're doing so without the gospel or you're doing so without the faith, it's futile. You will not find peace. You will not find peace in Ferguson, Missouri, nor will you find peace in the Ferguson. Whatever locale you choose. Because the faith is poles apart from the Ferguson. And it is only the faith where we have officers who are peace. John Calvin was kicked out of Geneva. For those of you who don't know a little bit of church history, this is about 500 years ago. Geneva, Switzerland was a place where he had gone in and he had started work, but they kicked him out. They didn't want it anymore. He had settled things well enough such they felt like, oh, we don't need this Christianity stuff anymore. We can do just fine. John, we'll see you later. He was kicked out, he was ridiculed, he was mocked, because the leadership there thought that they had a better, they were more enlightened. More enlightened way than the faith that he had brought to them. And John, in his exile, as he was looking on the situation there in Geneva, and as they left the faith and became more like what we would call today the Ferguson, as he beheld them and he beheld the chaos that was descending upon now his own beloved Geneva, he appealed to them, and this is what he said: "Will you again try to save Geneva without the gospel? Will you again try to save Geneva without the gospel?" You see, brothers and sisters, the hearts of evil men are desperately wicked. Left to ourselves, just about all we do is know the ABCs. Anything but Christianity. Anything but Christ. Left to ourselves. And so those in leadership in Geneva, after everything else had failed, and by the way, they had made everything worse, and by the way, when you apply the wrong remedy, you do make matters worse. And as we look at that situation in Ferguson and the Fergusons of the world, there's all sorts of people pouring gasoline on that fire, thinking they're doing the right thing. The wrong remedy does indeed make matters worse. But as in Geneva 500 years ago, all their efforts had failed. They had made matters worse. Finally, in their desperation, they called Calvin to come back to Geneva. And the gospel did its work. And Geneva was saved. In my office, I have a hand-painted gift, and it's precious to me. I have it up on the wall. It's from 25 years ago, hand-painted by Edie Wojnarowski. And it contains this quote from Peter Marshall, who was from a generation earlier. And this is slide number 2 from Peter Marshall. This is what he wrote. "The choice before us is plain. Christ or chaos. Conviction or compromise. Discipline or disintegration." He said, "I am rather tired of hearing about our rights and privileges as Americans. The time has come now when we ought to hear about the duties and responsibilities of our citizenship. America's future depends upon her accepting and then demonstrating God's government." What was he doing? He was illustrating the continuum we're talking about. The faith or the Ferguson. It's always the faith or the Ferguson. It's true now. It was true 25 years ago when Sister Edie gave me that hand-painted gift. It was true when Peter Marshall first penned it. It was true 500 years ago in Geneva in Calvin's day. And it was true 2,700 years ago in Isaiah's day. Our passage in Isaiah 60 has a context to it. It has a context to it, but that context is coupled with some very important promises. The chief promise being that they can get out of their Ferguson. They can get out of it, not by skipping town, but they can get out of their Ferguson by way of Ferguson's transformation. From verse 15, we see that Jerusalem had been a Ferguson. It was a place where it was forsaken, it was hated. Nobody wanted to go there anymore. The place was burned down, it was decimated. Forsaken and hated, decimated and destroyed. reduced to rubble, no traffic anymore, no visitors, nobody wants to go there. What is being described in verse 15 was God's spanking of Jerusalem for their walking away from the faith. All right, you don't want the faith, you're going to get the Ferguson. Of course, he didn't call it back then. From verse 18, we learn that theirs was a place of violence. Jerusalem was like that. Verse 18, he's telling them, look, violence shall no more be heard in your land. You won't have wasting and destruction within your borders. He's telling them that because that's what their experience was. It's not going to be like that anymore. Theirs was a place of violence, of oppression, of wasting, and of destruction. Jerusalem was a Ferguson. But God was going to rebuild them. In verse 15, I will make you an eternal excellency. This is God speaking. I will make you an eternal excellency. I will make you a joy of many generations. How is God going to do that? Well, we look at this passage here, and you know what? It wasn't about, had nothing to do with more police forces, more officers on the street. It wasn't about them being kinder or gentler or offering midnight basketball or anything like that, speaking a different language to them, reaching out to them. It wasn't about more police. It wasn't about them having better training. It wasn't about them having body cameras or dashboard cameras so nothing could be missed. You know, I know that Al Sharpton looks really old. And he looks old enough as if he could have been there in Isaiah's time. But the turnaround in Jerusalem had nothing to do with an Al Sharpton rally. Absolutely nothing. The turnaround in Jerusalem had nothing to do with an Eric Holder visit. It had nothing to do with any of those who were conducting die-ins. I mean, they could have had die-ins all across Israel. We're going to die and, you know, unify ourselves with the people in Jerusalem. Had nothing to do with any of that. Had nothing to do with university professors deciding, oh, we're going to postpone exams because what's happening there in Jerusalem is a little bit too traumatic for our students. Didn't have anything to do with anything like that. There was a problem that needed to be fixed. There was a fatal flaw, and the fatal flaw is in the heart of man. And it cannot be fixed without the work and the Spirit of God. There is no level of human effort or resource capable of bringing resolution. It's not about any of these technical fixes that we are trying to employ today, or we pretended that they were trying to employ back then. What we're seeing here in this passage and what we're seeing in Ferguson today is Humpty Dumpty all over again. Yes, I'm going to tell you. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. Do you hear those lyrics? All of the king's horses, all of the king's men, marshaling, mustering, all of the resources, couldn't fix the problem. So I don't care how many dashboard cameras, I don't care how many body cameras, I don't care how many more policemen, I don't care how much better training, that is not going to fix this problem. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. What civil government cannot do, God can and does do. And that's what this passage is about. Jesus gives what Al Sharpton can only dream about. God is here in this passage, and He is the one and the only one who is orchestrating all of this. In verse 16, we're going to read about this transformation, and the transformation illustrated here actually comes by way of a transfer of resources away from the kings and away from the pagans and away from the secularists, and a transfer of resources away from those who are profane. This is not about the rise of secular, tyrannical, or statist power, giving the police more power or the government more power. This is about the reduction of such. That's what it says. You know, we have this kind of crude language here. I will, you know, suck the resources of the Gentiles. I will suck the breasts of kings. This is taking power away from them and nourishing the people. Not at all about the rise of that tyrannical statist power. It's about the reduction of such. The rise of their power actually makes matters worse. This is about Christians, people of God in that day, about churches, the communities of faith, the synagogues, if you will, and it's about Christendom being enlarged to do their work. It's about things like, I'm going to get in trouble, defunding Planned Parenthood and nourishing Christian schools. Or at least getting out of their way. And lo and behold, as we see in verse 17, this ends up not only working, but making things better. He has all of these analogies. You know, instead of it simply being bronze, it's going to be gold. Instead of it being iron, it's going to be silver. Instead of it being wood, it's now going to be bronze or brass. Not only working, but working better. You want a golden society? I would hope that in our hearts, especially at this time of the year, we would want a golden society, a golden age, a place where police officers are peace and people are so checked by the Spirit. And that's what this passage means, that people are so checked internally by the Spirit of God that there would be no crime, there'd be no gangs, there'd be no murder, there'd be no rape, there'd be no stealing, there'd be no killing, there'd be no need for an officer. I will make your officers peace, meaning the peace of God is upon the person. And peace is ruling, umpiring, governing what they do. And so, oh, I can't go in that store and steal that. That's my brother's store. Peace is our officer. Peace rules and reigns. How about a place where righteousness dwells? Where the exactor, what is an exactor? Some of you may have a translation that says bailer or some sort. It's a financial officer, but it's an intermediary. It's somebody who's got to straighten out a tension and an economic problem between two parties. But here it talks about this is a place where righteousness dwells. And so all financial squabbles are remedied without intermediaries. Can you imagine that? Oh, I owe you this much? I'll gladly pay you that. Oh, no, that's too much. I don't need that much. No, this is fair. This is right. No. Let's have economic justice, party to party. All financial squabbles taken care of, mediated, remedied without an intermediary. Because people just end up doing the right thing. Now, all of this is very contrary to the popular approach today. You have two people and they're not going to get along because they're not being motivated by the Spirit of God. And so you have one guy watching them to make sure it's fair, but somebody's got to watch this guy. So somebody else is watching this guy because one of these guys would be tempted to bribe this guy. But what about the guy who's watching this guy? Maybe he's being bribed too. And on and on and on and on and on it goes. And all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. This is so contrary to the popular approach. More police, more layers of intermediaries, every squabble working its way up, what should be and ought to be resolved between two people ends up going to their families, to their extended family, to their neighborhood, and that doesn't work. And when the neighborhood doesn't work, it goes to the wider community. And when the wider community doesn't work, it becomes a state problem. And when the state can't figure it out, they bring in the National Guard and the federal government, and when they can't figure it out, they'll bring in foreign troops. And still, justice is nowhere in sight. Look at verse 18. Imagine a place so secure where there is no worry or concern about, is our wall high enough? Maybe we need to build our wall higher. You see on the end of verse 18 there where it talks about the fact that you will call your wall salvation? What's going to protect us is the idea that we are protected by God and we are safe and we are secure. Because without that, how high is high enough? If the wall's 100 feet, how do I know it doesn't need to be 101 feet high? And how do I know if it's thick enough? If it's 50 feet wide, how do I know I don't need 60 feet wide? And is it strong enough? Well, gee, if it's made out of cement, maybe it needs to be made out of Kevlar. Where does it end? How about we try the gospel instead of higher and thicker and stronger, where there is no limit? Imagine a place so joyful that the opening of every door, the opening of every gate, I will call your gates praise. A place so joyful that upon the opening of every gate there is praise. There's no fear. There's no dread. You don't need one of those little eyeglass peepholes to see who's out there. You open the door, you swing it wide. None of this, I wonder who this is. What am I describing for you? I'm describing for you the kingdom of the Most High God. Brothers and sisters, this is the work of Christendom. This is the work of Christendom. And the reminder that is Christmas calls us to be those who do His will, to bring this to pass, to do His will on earth as it is in heaven. We are called upon to produce this by the Spirit of God. Brothers and sisters, may there be heavenly peace on earth and goodwill towards men. And may we increasingly move from the Ferguson that we now dwell in toward and into the faith. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this vision of your servant, the prophet Isaiah. And we thank you for the theme of peace, which is highlighted at this time of the year. And Father, we call upon you and we call upon your Spirit. Father, and we call upon the leadership in our land to quit with those ABCs, anything but the Christian faith. Father, help us to cease to apply remedies that are no help at all, but simply make matters worse. Father, we pray that you'd be favorable to your people. Father, we pray that you would help us to live in a land where there would be no more violence, no more wasting, no more destruction, a place where indeed that our officers would be peace and our exactors would be righteousness. Help us to know the joy of gates that are called praise. Help us to know the security of walls that are called salvation. As you promised to your people long ago, make it so today. And help us to be those who do your will on earth as it is in heaven. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.